Happy New Year! At this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
What if Jesus had never been born? Have you ever thought about that? The difference we would see in society and in life. And we have actually, over the last few years, have actually explored some of those ways that the world is a better place because Jesus was born and Jesus has been born. One of those areas that we are going to look at today is the area of compassion and mercy. Sometimes there are people who claim that Christians aren't compassionate and that Christians don't show mercy. And that, in fact, there are some who believe that the way that we should show mercy is to allow the government to tax people. And, you know, really taxation started out as taxation of the rich and then giving to the poor, kind of like hiring the government to be a Robin Hood, so to speak. But really what has happened is taxation has grown to really impact the poor more than it impacts the rich. Yet there are people who say, well, that's the way that benevolence should be administered. It should be administered by the government collecting money out of paychecks and then giving it to the poor. However, that's not the way Jesus promoted compassion and mercy, and it certainly is not something that has produced economic prosperity in our nation, as our nation has moved more and more toward a socialist nation where people are taxed and then the government redistributes the wealth. When we look at the Bible, though, and when we look at the time before the church, before Christianity, we actually see that the church and Jesus, and in fact, the Christians, followers of Jesus, have made a major impact in this issue or this topic of compassion and mercy. And many of the good things that have happened, really the seeds of those were laid in the Old Testament, and this is really true of many of these things. But one thing that really didn't fully come to pass and didn't fully make as big of an impact is the Jewish nation was not super evangelical. Sometimes you do see certain individuals from other countries being influenced by the Jewish nation being adopted as Jews. But with Christianity, you actually had the gospel going out to people that the Jews despised. And even the Christian Jews, it was a major change of view and paradigm shift for them to realize that the gospel could go out to Gentiles. And there's entire chapters of the book of Acts written about that. But Saint Lawrence was a deacon in the Christian church who was quite generous, especially to the poor. He lived in Auriga of the Roman Empire in the 3rd century. During one of the persecutions, he was ordered to bring to a Roman official some of the treasures of the church. What he brought were poor, some poor, downtrodden, and lame people, and said to them, "These are the treasures of the church." For this response, he was roasted to death on a gridiron. While poverty has always been a part of life on earth, and this is actually a quote from Dr. D. James Kennedy's book, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? While poverty had always been a part of life on earth, the Church of Jesus Christ has done more, and often still does more, than any other institution in history to alleviate poverty. Furthermore, it has set a pattern for relief that is copied worldwide, from Mother Teresa helping the destitute on the streets of Calcutta to the Salvation Army providing shelter for a family whose home just went up in flames. The sun never sets on Christians, individuals, individually and corporately, meeting human needs in the first place. So this is really what we are looking at, Christians imitating Jesus and doing what Jesus had taught them. Now, prior to Christ's coming, the world before Christianity was like the Russian tundra, quite cold and inhospitable. One scholar, Dr. Martinian, exhaustively searched through historical documents and concluded that antiquity had left no trace of any organized charitable effort. Disinterested benevolence was unknown. Christ and the Bible became known, as Christ and the Bible became known, charity and benevolence flourished. Will Durant writes about ancient Rome, which was the zenith of civilization in antiquity. Charity found little scope in this frugal life. Hospitality survived as a mutual convenience at a time where ends were poor and far between. But the sympathetic Polybius reports that in Rome, no one even gives away anything if he can help it. Doubtless an exaggeration. Consider the contrast when Jesus came and one of the lawyers in Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up to test him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And so you see what is being transpired here is a lawyer is asking Jesus, what's required? I want to get to heaven, but what's required? And you can see really he wants to get to heaven, but he kind of wants to do the least amount. He wants to kind of just meet the minimum requirements. He wants to know what the minimum requirements are. And he wants to justify himself based on what he's doing and to determine that what he's doing is adequate. And so he asked, and who is my neighbor? Is this the guy that lives next door to me? Because I'm pretty nice to him. Well, Jesus actually shows who the neighbor is. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. So what you see here is that a man is going from Jerusalem. Thieves found him and stripped him. This was at a time, really, where it was actually dangerous to travel alone. And in fact, quite often when Jewish people traveled to go to worship, they would actually travel in caravans with groups of people so that it would be safer, so that others could actually help them and defend them. But this man must have been traveling alone. He was found by thieves. They stripped him of his clothing, so they took all of his clothes off of him. They wounded him. They departed him, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. So you see here, a priest and a Levite passed right by this poor guy that was lying in the ditch, dying. But then we hear about the Samaritan, and give me a little bit of liberty here to play around with this scripture to actually apply what some people believe, as I mentioned earlier, that charity should be the government taxing people and then giving that money to others. So not to do the scripture any injustice, but give me a little liberty here to just make a point that that is not what Jesus was talking about. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him. So he had compassion. So he picked up his cell phone and he called his congressman and he said, this is terrible. There's a guy dying in the ditch. Why isn't there a government program to help this poor guy out? Where are our tax money? We need to bring this guy and help him out. And is that what happened? Obviously, it's not. Not only did they not have congressmen and didn't have cell phones back then, really what Jesus is advocating, personal charity should always be the first. Well, really, family charity should be the first, and then after that, personal charity. And this is what Jesus is advocating. Jesus isn't advocating a big government program to help out people that are dying in the ditch because they were beat up. Jesus is actually advocating personal responsibility and personal charity. But behold, this is what it really says, but behold, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So the Samaritan had compassion, and he didn't just have compassion to ask someone else to do what he was unwilling to do. You see, he actually had compassion and acted upon that compassion personally. So in verse 34, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds. So the Samaritan went and bandaged the man's wounds and poured on oil and wine. He set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So you see, the Samaritan actually did what he could do, what he was able to do. He bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine on them, which, you know, back then they didn't really have a lot of antiseptic, but this is what he was doing to care for this man. He set him on his own animal, probably a donkey, and actually brought him to an inn, and he took care of the man himself. And then in verse 35, on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, which is, by the way, 2 days' wages. So you can think, what do you make in a day? Just double that. That's how much he left with the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So this good Samaritan is actually helping out this man and providing out of his own resources to help this man out, and saying, if there's any more expenses when I come back, I will repay that to you. And so this is pretty phenomenal what you see here. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So you see Jesus here advocating for personal charity. And what is interesting about this parable is that the Jews hated the Samaritans, and they revered the priest and the Levites. Yet in this parable, the priest and the Levite passed by this man that was dying on the ditch. They didn't even call their congressman, for crying out loud, and ask for a program. They just passed by because they didn't want to be bothered by this man who was lying in the ditch dying. But the Samaritan, who was hated and despised by the Jews, actually had mercy upon him and took care of him out of his own resources, and volunteered his own time, volunteered his own resources, his own money, and actually cared for them, and cared for the man. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So this is the pattern of what Jesus said, personal charity. And again, you see in the Bible, families taking care of their own members. That's the primary safety net. And then personal charity. And we'll also see examples of charity in the Bible from the church as well. But in Matthew chapter 25, what is known as the judgment of the nations, beginning in verse 31, Jesus says this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered to him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous one answers him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And the converse was true as well. Those goats were those who didn't show mercy. And so Jesus here again is showing that mercy is important. And again, this is not asking the government to do what you're not willing to do. That doesn't make you a merciful person to call for the government to tax other people to do what you yourself are not willing to do. God, Jesus here is calling for his people to do what he has called them to do. Now, you do see in the Bible that there was actually donations that were taken and that were administered to give money to those who were in need. And typically what you're looking at with those in need in the Bible, you're looking at those who could not care for themselves. If you had family that could help take care of you, the family did help take care of you. They were responsible to care for their own. But you had situations where there were widows, where there were orphans that needed help, that didn't have anyone that could help them. And in Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we read, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and laid hands on them, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And here you see, actually, the institution of deacons for the administering of benevolence to those who couldn't take care of themselves and who had no family to take care of them either. And you see men such as Stephen, who right after this verse, you see that Stephen is doing great exploits, and he's convincing people that Jesus is the Christ. And the Jews, actually, the Jewish leaders, actually arrested him. You can read about that in the rest of chapter 6 and then in chapter 7. They arrested him. They tried him. Stephen preaches the gospel to them, shows them that the blood of Jesus, that they are responsible for slaying Jesus and putting him to death, rather than repenting of their sins and trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. What we see is that they actually gnashed at him with their teeth. They picked up stones and they stoned him to death. And the Bible actually says that there was a man whose name later would become Paul. His name was Saul at that time, but he later would become Paul. But he was at that time, this was prior to his conversion, he was approving of the stoning of Stephen. So Stephen, one of these deacons, became the first Christian martyr. But what you see here is as the deacons were appointed and as the church actually ministered to those who couldn't take care of themselves, you see, and the apostles proclaimed the gospel, you see the word of God spreading, the number of the disciples being multiplied greatly, and even many of the priests coming and becoming obedient to the faith. And then you see that there was a time in the Bible. We're going to look in Acts chapter 11, and you can also look at Romans chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 through chapter 9, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians. And you can see that there was actually a famine that was prophesied that would happen in Jerusalem. So here you see the church actually not just administering to widows and orphans, but really looking and ministering to anyone who could not take care of themselves. Beginning in verse 28 of Acts chapter 11, then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And this they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And in Romans chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 16, and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you actually see about accounts of the collection of for this purpose, and the actual Paul and Barnabas actually taking this money to Jerusalem to help out among this. And so what you see today, and since that time, is you see the church actually working to help out in the time of need. And we will, at a subsequent time in another sermon, go more in depth into this. But one of the things that you see even today is when there's a natural disaster, whether it's in this country or another country, certainly you do see secular organizations that are working. And you see governments raising money and collecting money from taxes, or even in our case, in the nation, our nation, borrowing money to help out and alleviate. But you'll also see Christian organizations. You'll see Catholic Charities. You'll see Samaritan's Purse. You'll see CBN. You'll see various Christian ministries going and getting into the trenches, volunteering to go and rebuild houses, to feed those who have no means of getting food, to even bringing food in, to bringing water in, and helping to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. This was something that was unknown, largely unknown, prior to the birth of Christ. So never, ever, ever let anyone convince you that Christians are stingy. Certainly, if you're stingy, repent of that. But as according to your ability, as the Bible says here in Acts, let us give to those who can't give, and use this as a means of spreading the gospel, not only giving the word of God, but also providing what is physically needed. Father, we do come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we praise you and give you glory, honor, and thanksgiving. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be those who follow you and keep your commandments and serve you, Father. Lord, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Not only did he come to be a babe in a manger, he came not only to die on the cross, but he revolutionized history and revolutionized through working through his church, changed so much, including this topic of charity, compassion, and mercy.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Happy New Year! At this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.